Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with my boy TB Timeless. We're doing a draft special for you from SportsCityChefs.com. I just want to say that this podcast is downloadable on iTunes and all Apple laptops, phones. Get it downloaded and get it listened to. Me and TP going through the draft today in Nashville tomorrow. The NFL is going to gather for the 2019 NFL draft, and so many, you know, prospects coming out. And this time of year, it's about that time to get excited about the NFL season, I think. And we're going to kick it off here at Sports City Chefs. Me and TP, I haven't done this in a while. It's great to have you. I've just me and you on, bro, and great to speak to you after some time.
No doubt. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped inside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you guys for the next 60 minutes. The draft is here. A lot of sports extravaganza going on. Let's get after it.
Yeah, let's get right into it. You know, it's crazy, right? I mean, the draft is something like CIA stuff for me now. You know, you've got the Arizona Cardinals. They drafted a quarterback last year, 10th overall, Josh Rosen. We know Josh Rosen is like a brain box. He questions, you know, he likes to ask questions about offense and quarterbacking. And, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, they're in that situation where they got number one overall pick. Cliff Kingsbury is a new head coach in Arizona. He's one of these up-and-coming young minds like Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma, a good young mind. Well, I'm sure we're going to see Lincoln Riley, who's just had Kyler Murray at Oklahoma, had Baker Mayfield last year's number one pick as well. And so Cliff Kingsbury's now in Arizona. He's got Josh Rosen from last year. So what does he do? You know, what does he do? They've got the number one overall pick. Are we going to take it for the top 10 picks? Are we going to start? Yeah, I mean, all the misinformation, Ty, all the smoke screens are being sent. You know, Josh Rosen wasn't on the photograph for the schedule of the season. I think that spoke volumes for me about where they're going, you know, with the quarterback situation. But then, you know, are they looking for the trade? Are they looking for somebody like the Washington Redskins to come down and trade with them, or, you know, whoever really to come and get that, come and get Rosen from it? You know, the Oakland A's are throwing money at Kyler Murray. The Oakland A's are really worried that the NFL want him. You know, They've already had eyes on him for years. It's crazy right now, but I definitely think Arizona are gonna draft him. I think they're gonna take him number one overall. I think he's gonna be the number one pick in tomorrow's draft. Even though, you know, he might not be the best player overall, but I think the upside for him is incredible. He's gonna love this offense. I mean, he's absolutely gonna love it. I think under Cliff Kingsbury, it's really gonna suit him down to earth. I think they can do some damage there. Just your thoughts on him in general, you know, as a player and coming in, and do you see Arizona taking him number one overall tomorrow?
I mean, either way they go, it's a very impressive pick. The one thing that baffles me about Bosa is that they've given up a lot of defensive pieces around him in Arizona for him to be. They're more or less constructing the organization to be around Bosa and build from the bottom up. So I would understand that move, but if they do go with Kyler, you know, it's interesting because he's an undersized quarterback. And with Kingsbury, knowing that he came out of that fast-paced passing offense down there in Texas, I think it kind of fits Kyler to make those passes. He can make all of the throws around a lot, and he's a scrambler, so he can, you know, make plays on the run. But I think that's what it is going to take for him to get going, just because you know, he's coming out of college and knowing that he's not used to the exotic presences that these defenses throw. So I think it would be interesting if they did go after Kyler, but they would have to get rid of Rosen. So it depends on which way the Cardinals are ready to go. If they're going to give Rosen a second chance, which he looked porous last year, especially in that the game against the Broncos where they just kept running the scoreboard up in the first half. So I don't know if he makes that big of a transition from his rookie season into this upcoming season right here, or if they go with the young – talented guy that, you know, a lot of the odds are against him because he's under 6 feet.
Sure thing. I mean, do you think that you know, Russell Wilson now is, and Baker Mayfield, I know he's a bit shorter. Do you think, And the way offenses are now tied as well, you know, these quarterbacks love moving outside of the pocket. We've seen it in college a lot. Pat Mahomes is starting to do it more. Do you think, like, the size thing is as much as an issue now as it was back in the day, you know, just a few years ago even? You know, that 6'4 quarterback, everybody wanted that 6'4 quarterback, the prototype NFL quarterback. Do you think, like, guys like Baker Mayfield now and you know, who was the number one pick last year, and Russ Wilson, do you think they've thrown all that out of the window, or do you think there's still, you know, everybody wants that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning still? Do you think I think it's a new age, personally. I don't know. I mean, the way the college game is going, I think it's starting to adapt more into the NFL. I don't know, man. It's interesting. I understand what you're saying. Also, question I want to ask you, if you were Larry Fitzgerald, you know, how frustrated are you right now? What's your thoughts if you're Larry Fitzgerald? I feel so sorry for the guy.
I feel bad for Larry Fitzgerald because last year was supposed to be his last season, and the way the Cardinals played last year, they look horrible, and this is going to be his potential last season unless he keeps reinstating himself and saying that he's going to play again. But they don't really have that many offensive pieces around him. Even though they do have David Johnson in the backfield, I think Kyler could definitely make a difference in that offense and get, you know, Larry to be successful in some passing plays and so on and so forth. I just don't want it to be a Kyler, or let me just say a Murray Fitzgerald combination, and they make this connection work, and then Fitzgerald retires after this guy's rookie season. It's like bad that it's happening on both sides of the spectrum. You got a legend leaving, and you got a rookie that can make a name for himself coming into the game. So it'll be tough. I really want to see some quality things happen for Larry on his, you know, his season as he's leaving. I want to see him make the playoffs. I mean, I'm not a Cardinal fan, but I've watched Larry's whole career. I watched him cause havoc while he was in college. I want to see him at least try to chase a Super Bowl and bring one to Arizona, no less. I mean, not to say the Cardinals are going to be a Super Bowl team, but it would be crazy if they were and if he were a piece of the madness.
Yeah, if this works out, it would be amazing to see them, you know, just make the playoffs. But, like, I just want to see Larry Fitzgerald have a 1,000-yard season. I mean, he's already won the Super Bowl. We know this. He won the Super Bowl for him against Pittsburgh. And, you know, okay, Ben Roethlisberger come back, Santonio Holmes, they come back and won the game. But, you know, he done his work. What a legend. I mean, and Terrell Suggs there this year as well. They brought him in as a free agent. Before I get off this topic, I want to see the options for Rosen, right, Ty? And this is what I think should happen for Josh Rosen. I think the Washington Redskins should trade up. They've got a couple of running backs there, Darius Geis and Samaj Perine is there. They could come in. I know there's problems with David Johnson. I mean, there's ways, you know, in a couple of picks, there's ways they can get Josh Rosen out of there. I think, you know, and you look at that. They say Josh Rosen likes to ask questions. He's a big quizzical guy. Loves his offense. Loves to ask questions. You got Jay Gruden as head coach, offense. You got Kevin O'Connell as offensive coordinator. Kevin O'Connell's a quarterback. Tim Mattei is the quarterback coach, ex-quarterback. And then you've got Matt Kavanaugh there as well, another quarterback, ex-quarterback coach. So he's got four guys there of great mentality, quarterback gurus. It'd be a perfect fit for Josh Rosen in Washington. And you look at the fact that Alex Smith ain't coming back anytime soon. God bless him. I mean, I love Alex Smith. And if he can come there as a mentor as well to Rosen, what a landing spot that would be for him. I mean, they've already got half of Alabama on the defensive side of that ball. They got a spine in there with Jonathan Allen, Ron Payne. Reuben Foster's there. We know there's other two linebackers, Ryan Anderson and Sean Hamilton from Alabama, and now Landon Collins as well. So they've got, like, and Rex Ryan is there. Rob Ryan has come from Sky Sports in the UK. He's coaching with Jim Tomsula on our defense. Love what Washington is doing. If they get Josh Rosen, I mean, Josh Rosen and just have that chip on his shoulder coming into the season, I think it'll be a great, great trade. But I mean, I'm clutching at straws here now, but it's a good fit, I think. That'd be a great fit and a good move for Washington right now. I mean, just looking at it and from what I've been studying, but we'll see how it goes. Interesting first pick. I mean, if they take Bosa tomorrow, Ty, that would be crazy, because you were the only one I've actually heard, right, for a long time to say that. So if they do make that choice tomorrow and blow us all away by not picking Kyler Murray, then I will be mentioning that. Don't worry about that. And I'm giving you the props you deserve there, but we'll see. Okay, so I'm going Kyler Murray one. I think that's the safe choice. I just think the way the quarterback's position is now, the success Baker Mayfield has had, and Russ Wilson just getting this check, and the way the game's evolving from college to pro, I think Kyler Murray's the only the logical choice right now for me. And fair play to Arizona, Steve Kine. They've done a great job keeping everything quiet, smoke screens, misinformation, better than the CIA, as I said, opening. It's great what they've done. But okay, so we've covered that. Let's go to I mean San Francisco, man, and they got everything, you know, they got everybody open to him. John Lynch, he's becoming, you know, he's had a good few drafts, moving around, moving and shaking a little bit. But I can't go away. I love Ed Oliver, right? And I love Quinnen Williams, and I love Nick Bosa. But they've picked three defensive linemen in the last 4 years. They've picked Arik Armstead, DeForest Buckner, and Solomon Thomas. And I think they're gonna do it again because they brought in Quan Alexander, right? And they got D Ford on the other side. You're gonna get to the quarterback. If you bring in Nick Bosa, you've got to get to the quarterback. I don't care, you know. That's a great, great pass rush. So I think logical, just going off best player available, Nick Bosa's got to go number two. I think, just the pedigree, you know, great pedigree, good bloodlines. His brother doing so much for him, you know, even though he didn't play there at the end of last year, as we know, through injury. So he made this choice to come into the NFL. He's done it, and here he comes, and this, you know, he's got it all ready. He's ideal for a 4-3 end. So consistently disruptive. He's great hand work, all the technique. I think he's really mastered his trade in college coming in as a junior, you know. So it's there for him. I mean, he's got some good edge rushers just behind him and defensive tackles as well. But I think San Francisco go with, John Lynch makes the move and goes with Nick Bosa. Thoughts on the pick? Thoughts on the Niners in general, Kyle Shanahan there, Jimmy G coming back. Thoughts on the West Coast, bro?
This is an uphill situation for the San Francisco 49ers because they really have to find their identity. Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, made the move from New England to San Francisco. He played all but the first five games of the season and ended up tearing his knee up. And I don't really think they found that chemistry yet. I think that he's going to have to, you know, carry the offensive side of the ball. Now, here goes the interesting thing that I'm going to throw out about Bosa that a lot of people, I know a ton of people, probably everybody disagree with. I really feel like this could be a situation where Bosa is in a troublesome situation. For him to sit out the remainder of the regular season last year in college football and come into the league like he could just dominate football is another thing. His brother is a beast. Don't get me wrong. Joey was a problem. But Nick had something to prove here. He's going to be in a defense that has to make a name for themselves also. It's not like San Francisco is some juggernaut defense. They have some pieces that they added there that they have to find the chemistry right now. They're also in an interesting NFC West where they have to deal with the likes of a Seattle Seahawks team where their quarterback just received the biggest paycheck in NFL history. So Bosa is going to have his hands full. He might see some interesting protections in front of him and get chipped a lot. He's going to be a rookie and may face frustration, but he may overcome it. He may persevere, but I think right now, earlier portion of the season, if he goes to either or, if he ends up going to Arizona or San Francisco, where I think more than likely he may end up in San Francisco because San Francisco needs defense, I still feel like he's going to have more to prove and more to deal with as he enters the NFL. I think Bosa can be in a problematic start to his career. I won't say it won't be a full career of him dealing with these issues and having, you know, questionable situations, but I think at the beginning, he will take his fair share of lumps.
Yeah, I remember saying last year, you know, I think we both mentioned it last year, I was disappointed. I thought, you know, if you can play. I mean, I thought it was quite disrespectful to Ohio State as well, the way he just, and he was, you know, let's be honest, he could have made it back for the end of that season. He could have made it back, didn't. And it is what it is. But good point. They definitely need defense there. It's not great. And D Ford coming in from the Chiefs, I thought that was good. And Quan Alexander is one of the, you know, he's a good linebacker. They're gonna enjoy him there. But yep, John Lynch trying to put his Tampa 2. Perhaps he should suit up himself. Maybe John Lynch. I think he still seems like he's got it. You know, that'd be great to see. But Maybe not anytime soon. But anyway, let's move on. So two picks we're down with. Kyler Murray and Nick Bosa pretty much 1 and 2. I think everybody's gone with that. I think that's the consensus on the first two picks. You know, we go to the Jets, Ty. I was struggling with this one, bro. I'll be honest with you, I was struggling. I mean, I love Ed Oliver. You know, I've had a man crush on Ed Oliver for a while now. He had his injuries last year, but he's a bit smaller than Quinnen Williams, right? And that's the only reason I'm not going to go with him here. I'm going to go Quinnen Williams for the Alabama factor, for one. I mean, it's just a factory there right now. This guy is so dominant. You watch tape on him, Ty. He is unbelievable, man, getting off blocks. Unbelievable. Like, his strength. He reminds me of Sue. He's so much like Sue when he's stripping blocks. I mean, we remember, obviously you remember, Damian Sue in his rookie year with the Lions and coming out and stamping on the heads. And he hasn't got that extra bit of temperament. You know, he seems to have all the physical attributes that Sue had, but not that extra, you know, that extra, he just let himself go a little bit too much. But he's got the rest of it. And I really like the pick. Adam Gase there now as a head coach. They need defense. So for me, they're going to have the two Williams boys, right? They've got to stop the run. That was their biggest issue. And, you know, they got Jamal Adams at the back. And he's a brilliant safety, right? And so they bring in CJ Mosley from Baltimore, who we know is a great run-stuffing inside linebacker. And now you've got the two Williams boys up front. And I think that's a good spine for them to build around and for them to build this draft around. And, I love that they brought in CJ Mosley. I think that was a great pick for him to run this defense early. You don't live far from the Jets, Ty. I know you know you're only up the road from MetLife there in Stamford, Connecticut, and it's the New York Jets, man. They've had it tough since since Joe Namath retired, really. Let's be honest. But I think they got the quarterback. I genuinely do think they got the quarterback, and now like the Williams boys on up front, they got some talent there now, I think.
They can have the quarterback all they want. They need a defense to slow down the best football player we've ever seen in Tom Brady. If Brady's going to continue to play ball, they need these defensive fronts. And that's the way to beat the Patriots. If you could get the four, being the two tackles and the defensive end or whatever package you got in a 4-3 or 3-4, to get to Brady without blitzing, that's one of the best options to beat them. I'm not going to say it's set in stone or this is the blueprint, but it's worked. Especially with Brady coming off of his sixth championship. I can't believe that I'm saying that. And he's coming back for more. And knowing that he has a point to prove, you're going to need a big hog, whatever it may be, if you're going to go with Williams, like you just mentioned, or if you're going with Oliver. But I'll stick with the Williams pick because he's an Alabama guy. He has guys around him like T.J. Mosley that have already taken their bumps around the league and know how to, you know, probably be more constructive in getting this guy up and amped for these type of games, especially these divisional battles within the AFC East, even though the AFC East ain't too much to talk about with the Buffalo Bills trying to make a name for themselves, the Miami Dolphins with their issues that they're having with players that just walk in and out of that organization, and we're speaking amongst the Jets as well right now. I mean, they have to make a name for themselves also. If they have a defense that can slow down Tom Brady and beat him twice, the last time that the Jets did this, they went to an AFC Championship game with Mark Sanchez, no less. So if they can get a defense quality enough, and not to say that they have the same bookend corners like they had with Revis and Cromartie, but if they can get a defense that could play stout, slow down Tom Brady in that offense, whoever he puts out there, he goes out there with people's uncles and aunts and still win games. So the Jets can slow him down and make it happen. So this would be a big pickup. He could be a decent run stopper. Hopefully he can get past some of these blockers and get to Brady and get the stack and, you know, be progressive to try to push this team to a playoff or a postseason bid. But right now, a lot of these teams in the AFC East have to look forward to trying to slow down Tom Brady. I don't care if he is going to be 42 years old when this season starts.
Wow. And only now, just picking up social media as well, apparently. He just I think he tweeted something the other day, something about Belichick, and he said like, oh, I bet Bill will see this because Bill is such a social media type of guy, but he's never used it in his life. Anyway, but it's kind of comical how good they are. I mean, you think, you know, it's called the Lombardi Trophy. Like, it should be named the Belichick Trophy. Sorry, it should be, and it's just like it's incredible what they've done. And you're right, and Jason Taylor and. I remember that defense well, Bart Scott, right, and all the guys, and yeah, it was that's definitely the way. Well, we've seen it with New York as well, the other New York team, the Giants in the Super Bowl. You know, Osio Manuri is over the NAK broadcasting now, and, you know, Strahan. That's the way to beat them, bro. You got it. You know, Tom Coughlin, he showed it. You get to him with those edge rushers and get pressure up the middle, and that's definitely the thinking. That's definitely what they got to do. And this kid can do it. Quinnen Williams, he can get that done. And I think it's a good pick. And he's over 300 pounds, 6'3", and he's so athletic, precise. So athletic. I think that's the pick. So we got Kyler Murray 1, Nick Bosa 2, Quinnen Williams 3. And I think Quinnen Williams is arguably the best player in this draft, but just fits a need for the Jets more than he does for the Niners and the Arizona Cardinals. But Ty, moving on. This team, bro, it's incredible. The Oakland Raiders. Let me tell you something, what's going on now. So Mike Mayock, right? We all know Mike Mayock from the NFL. He's an NFL draft guru the last few years. I thought this was an amazing move, but I thought this was a great move by the Oakland Raiders. Amazing move. Just bringing in Mike Mayock, the draft guru, who studied all these kids over the last 5 years. This is John Gruden's thinking, right? And if you've seen the film Moneyball, I know you've seen that film, and you know Billy Beane and what Billy Beane done in Oakland. And he got rid of all these stars. He got rid of, you know, with Johnny Damon and, you know, and all the stars of the Oakland days. Just like John Gruden done, he got rid of Mark. You know, we know he got rid of Amari Cooper for draft picks. So now he's gone all chips in. He's put all his chips in the middle of the table, just like Billy Beane done, Brad Pitt's character in that film. Do anybody listening in has seen it? They know what I'm talking about. It's exactly the same. It's so similar to what they've done. And they got a fourth pick in the draft, and now they got to start rebuilding on this pick. And I think Josh Allen, he can't come in and try and be Khalil Mack. He can't. He's just got to come in and be Josh Allen. And he's size-wise 6'5", 263, right? He's got the physical attributes of Nick Bosa, but he might be that little bit quicker off the edge. I mean, it's so close between those two. And a lot of teams, I've heard a lot of people saying that Josh Allen could go to the top. The Arizona Cardinals might be fooling around just to get in, just to play opposite Chandler Jones and to come in with Riddick, you know, and Jordan Hicks, who they brought in as well from the Eagles, just to join our linebacking crew in Arizona. I don't know, man. This is why they could be sending all those smoke screens and the misinformation and stuff, just because they might have their eye on a guy like Josh Allen, you know, or Devin White or Quinnen Williams. You know, maybe they have. You know, who knows? Draft is changing every year, but I think he comes in, gives John Gruden that edge rusher, and I think he can answer the crowd. I think he can win that crowd, you know, in a gladiatorial way. I think he can do it. He's got the size. The question I want to ask you, and this is a good question, right? And I think if your theory works out and Kyler Murray doesn't go at number one, Joey Bosa gets picked. Do the Oakland Raiders pick Kyler Murray? Are they settled with Derek Carr? I mean, can you imagine? Let me put this scenario. I think I might have mentioned this to you a few weeks ago. If Oakland pick Kyler Murray, the Oakland A's see Kyler Murray get drafted by the Oakland Raiders, see him move out of town to Las Vegas, how disrespectful would that be? Just A, and do you think they do it? Do you think they make that move? If he's still around at number four, do you think Oakland pick Kyler Murray? And your thoughts on Josh Allen and that pick, if that happens.
If Kyler were to fall that low, that would be incredible. Well, not to say that low. I won't even say it because I really think that his potential could be as a one pick, but not to just say it as the Raiders picking him up would be incredible. But just saying in general, if that were to present itself, I wouldn't be mad at it. I would not be mad at them getting Kyler Murray. However, this Raiders organization just threw a ton of money at Derek Carr. They have to get their pennies worth, but get their money's worth. They have to get every last bit of penny out of Derek Carr before he leaves town, whether it be California or Nevada, however you like it. Nevada's one of my favorite states in America, but still no less if they open up that new stadium in Nevada, out right outside the strip, are they going to want to open up with Derek Carr, who's been unsuccessful for the majority of his career? He had one season that was pretty special, but out of the first couple of seasons out of his career, I want to say two or three of his seasons, he's missed significant time of being lost for the season. So he's already injury prone, and I hate to put that staple to him. So I would not be mad if the Raiders did go after Kyler if he was available, But the Raiders have a lot of, you know, holes to fill, whether it's defensively or offensively. But I think quarterback is definitely one that they could at least look out for a backup for Derek Carr if he does start slacking. But I don't know if Kyler will be there, especially with the potential for him to actually go to Arizona. But it would be interesting in itself.
Just throwing that one out there, bro. I can imagine how great would that be in Vegas to have Kyler Murray in his second year coming in, opening that stadium up with the prison cell in the stadium. just a crazy scenario. So, like, Josh Allen off the edge, much pressure on him with Khalil Mack gone. Do you think you'll feel that pressure? How much, you know, as an edge rusher, though, is it a different kind of pressure, do you think, as an edge rusher? You know, your job is just to get the quarterback. It's not like you're a quarterback coming in. I mean, basically, you just got to get the quarterback, right? It's a different kind of pressure.
I think so, but this is the crazy part. If he ends up, let's just say Josh Allen does end up going to the Raiders, right? Let's say he goes to the Raiders. The only quarterback that I really feel like he can threaten would be Phillip Rivers, because Phillip don't move. But everything else could be a situation where he's uphill. You got to worry about Denver, whoever's running the show in Denver. And then you also got to worry about Patrick Mahomes, who I feel like Patrick Mahomes, if this offense keeps clicking the way that they are, they should win the AFC in this season or next season. I won't put it past like three seasons. I think the Chiefs have the potential to get it done. If they keep all of that speed around the field, your front seven are basically on an island trying to deal with a quarterback that can make every single throw on the field, every single deep, short, behind his back, no look. He actually throws no look passes. So it is true. I'm not lying. So if Josh Allen is to go to the Raiders, and knowing the Raiders have had their fill, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I just don't want to see him get frustrated because he's dealing with a team that's on the rebuild and dealing with the wide receiver that they just got in the door that's, you know, making a big debate, shall I say. I'll just use that word, between him and his former teammates. So you don't want to rattle the cage of AB neither. So this is an interesting pick for the Oakland Raiders on which way they will go. Potentially, if they do go with Josh Allen, I think it'll be a huge pickup. Even though, to me, I feel like he's tall and limbo, like he's kind of skinny, but his weight is there. So hopefully he can put that pressure and bring it to a lot of these offenses. But we'll see if it does pan out that way.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, to break him down tight, tremendous agility. You know, he just wins with speed, basically, and just his movement, his bend, and, you know, you got a lovely little inside counter move. Just got all the moves. And then the power as well, just to finish him off. I mean, he comes off in a blur so fast off the edge. Going to be a great player, I think, and a great pick. And like you said, yeah, everybody is trying to beat the Chiefs now. I think they make that move for Frank Clark as well. You know, off the edge again today, yesterday, and they're starting to make moves. And I was leaving New York, right? I'm told you this. I was leaving New York, and I was in Champs, and it was like I wanted to get a jersey for my nephew, and I had them all. They were all there, you know, and I just went with Mahomes. I had Brady in front of me. I had Lions jerseys, you know, Eagles jerseys, and I just went with him. I think he's, you know, MVP, but what he's done for the NFL, Ty, as well. I mean, you know, over here in UK and in Europe, just what he's done for the fan base, you know, he's basically changing the quarterback position. He's like, well, you do it. Well, he ain't really. He's not. I mean, Brett Favre's doing all this stuff as well. Let's be honest. He was. I mean, so he's not really. It's nothing really new. Andy Reid will tell you that Brett Favre's doing this stuff. But just the no-look passes, I mean, but they're coming off, you know. It's like there'll be times, and I know what defense is like. They're going to read it. They're going to find him out, and they're going to adapt and get to him. And in time, we'll see that. But for now, I mean, just phenomenal how he's come out of college, what he's done, and also what he's doing off the field as well is incredible. Such an inspiration. And yeah, they got to get him. Oakland have absolutely got to get after the guy. And that's a great way to start. Okay, so we're done with four. Tampa Bay tie at five. Bruce Arians has just come in. New era, they're going to a 3-4 defense now, moving around a bit. They got Vita Vea. Gerald McCoy hasn't checked in yet. There's some stuff going on, like talk about him going around. I don't know what it is, what that's all about. But I think they go linebacker. And just because of this kid, really, Devin White, he's a linebacker out of LSU. 6 foot, 237, right? But I think there's a new era in the NFL with linebackers. in pass protection, right? And you watch this kid run. I mean, he's like a cross between Artie Nickerson and Derek Brooks back in the day. That's how good I think he's going to be. And this is why I got him in the top five. He's so good. I mean, you can leave him in on dime and nickel, and he runs like a safety. He moves around like a safety. He's just quick, and just he's got all the attributes you want in a linebacker. I mean, there's players there that could go early, but I just, you know, and you know how much I like Ed Oliver, but I think they got some boys up front. They got some big boys there with McCoy and Vitor Vea from last year already. I don't think it's such a need at the moment, so I'm going to go with Devin White out of LSU. You know, thick and sturdy frame, explosive, and he's just a playmaker. Unbelievable playmaking skills. And he's sideline to sideline so quick. He's gonna make a heck of a lot of plays. And he lost Quan Alexander in free agency, and I think he comes in and fills his boots straight away. So a bit of an outside choice there, but I think Devin White for me, a good pick at linebacker, even though there's a few other directions they can go in. But yeah, Christian Wilkins as well, another one up front, Ed Oliver, all around this time. But just your thoughts on the Bucks, Jameis Winston, the future there, Ty? Are you ready to go with him now with Bruce Arians? We know Bruce Arians is a bit of a quarterback guru. He's had him all, right? He's done well with Ben Roethlisberger. This reminds me so much of the Ben Roethlisberger situation with Jameis Winston, where Ben Roethlisberger was mentally after that motorbike incident and, you know, and stuff that was going on in his personal life. I don't know everything about Jameis Winston. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to say he's this guy, he's that guy, because I just don't know. I mean, all I know, just like most people, is what I've seen on TV, right? And what I've read and what I've heard in interviews, and that's it. I've never met the guy. I haven't hung out with him. So I don't know what he's like as a guy. I just don't know. But it's like, it's hard to ignore what we read and what we see, right? And what we listen to in interviews. So that's where I go. And I think this is a perfect head coach to come out of retirement. We know he was in the booth last year. Comes out of retirement. He puts his arm around Jameis Winston. I think he can fix it. I think he can fix the situation and get the best out of Jameis Winston. And I think Jameis Winston now is at that age where he's matured enough and he's ready to go. And I think, you know, they're helping him out now. Devin White's a good pick on the defensive side of the ball, I know. They could do again him some help. TJ Hawkinson is there, the tight end, which should be a good fit, but they've already got some decent players around that area with Mike Evans and so. But just your thoughts on the Bucks in general, Ty, Jameis Winston and Devin White and the Tampa Bay is, and that defense, you know. Do you think it's coming back?
Okay, well, with Devin White, the situation with him, this is like the insurance/security blanket situation with the Levante David issue they've been dealing with for the past couple of years, of them having so much, you know, promise and upside in a guy like Levante and injury nips him or something crazy within a season that watches him slow down for this team in his productivity. With Devin White trying to fill that void or help the void, however we look at it, would be impressive because he's an SEC player. He's dealt with the speed, and there's a lot of speed in that NFC South that he'd have to deal with as well. So I think he'd be pretty much accustomed to what's going on as long as that defense starts to click all around all cylinders. Now, looking at this pick to try and suit the offense and looking at Bruce Arians, and I don't like to talk about people's jobs or people losing their job. I just don't like negativity like that, just within my own heart. Like, I like to see people work. But I'm going to say this right now here on Sports City. If Jameis, and I'll give him a 2 to 3 year window, if Jameis doesn't show progression with Bruce Arians, this is bye-bye for him. I think that he'll end up on that bench or they make a move to get rid of him. He has a great football IQ. His arm at points of times, he doesn't have the strength to make a lot of the throws. He has the right decision at times, but he throws a lot of interceptions. He's turnover savvy now, and I didn't see this when he was in college because he was playing college football. When he got to the league, he's dealt with his issues and it's been exposed. If Bruce Arians can't turn this, offensive progression into the favor of Jameis so Jameis could actually contend for NFC South, leader or champion, however we look at it, they'd have to move on from him. They'd have to get a potential backup or starting quarterback at that given time. So I think this right here, Bruce Arians has to make something happen within a 2 year span. I say within a 2 year span, to be fair.
I think that's a good shout. I don't think Dirk Cutter was the guy for him last year. I just don't think he was head coach for him. I think this is a different a different guy, and I think that's what the organization thinks. I think they're looking at it like that. They think if he doesn't work under Bruce Arians, then he's just ain't gonna work. I think that's pretty much what the Bucks are saying to Jameis Winston. And and talking about quarterbacks, let's move on to pick number six, New York Giants, Eli Manning. They got a big board in front of them. Dwayne Haskins is there, Ty, and Drew Locke is there. Ryan Finley is there. Not many people mentioned Ryan Finley. Good quarterback. He won't be around long. Trust me. I'm not saying he's going to go in the first round. Like, he's way down on people's list, but he's been throwing our ball, man. He's so accurate and a quick release, Ryan Finley. So the quarterbacks are there, and I think Ryan Finley might be there in the second round. And a lot of people are saying, like, he's not like Davis Webb. He's not like Davis Webb. He's a gamer. Davis Webb had all the attributes and the size and wasn't a gamer. I think Ryan Finley's going to be different. I don't be shocked if New York end up moving up for him later in the draft. I think he'll be there for him. I can't move past Ed Oliver, Ty. For me, like for about a year now, this guy have been there. They lost him. They lost Olivia Vernon. He went to the Browns as a defensive end. Ed Oliver can move around a bit. He's that nimble, you know. The comparisons to Aaron Donald are obvious. I mean, his size, but I think, you know, coming in, he's under 300 pounds. He's about 290, right? I mean, he's a John Randall come into this league about 270-ish, right? 260, 270. And he had a big chain. And I'm talking about like a big chain around his neck when they were weighing him in camp, right? This is what John Randall done. And they put him on the field and he beat people with technique. John Randall's pure physical attribute and technique, and he was so much smaller than everybody else. Ed Oliver is the same guy, and I'm looking at his workouts. I follow him, and he was at Houston for a while. They've had three blockers on him, right, at times, and he still gets to the quarterback. He still finishes the play. He's amazing. He's incredible at getting off blocks. He's constantly double teamed at Houston. You watch any tape, any game, and he just gets to the quarterback. He's an outstanding player. He's had injury problems. When I mentioned him last year, you said, yeah, he's had injuries. We see how he's done. He's overcome those injuries, and here he is. I want to put him in the top five, right? But he just doesn't fit there for me. My question to you is, I'm an Ed Oliver guy. I think he's going to go – he might go top five. He might go instead of Quinnen Williams. But I don't see him getting past the Giants at six. Do you think they go Dwayne Haskins or another quarterback? Do you think they go quarterback? Or do you think they're going to hang on a bit? I mean – There's other quarterbacks as well. Daniel Jones worked with Cutcliffe. You know, we know the Manning comparisons and stuff. I don't, you know. But, yeah, your thoughts on the Giants pick and the other MetLife team just down the road from you?
I'll try and spin this as best as I can. If they go with Oliver, it'd be interesting because their defensive front, they can use a guy like him up front that's stout, but he had his injuries, you know, nip right now coming into the league. So this is something that they're going to have to watch, you know what I'm saying, with him being the defensive tackle coming out of a conference that doesn't really have that much competitive nature compared to the power conferences, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm, like, iffy if the Giants go with that Oliver. Now, if they're smart, if they're trying to win as soon as possible, they will go with a guy like Dwayne Haskins. He's going to have to learn from Eli immediately, because they are already talking about putting more years onto the back end of Eli Manning with no quality quarterback behind them. I can't see the quarterback that they have to spell Eli. If anything were to happen to Eli or if he's set to retire, that can carry the state of New York. Forget the city. The state of New York, the state of New Jersey, partially Connecticut. Like, this is a big market. This is a huge media frenzy that would love to tear somebody up if they're not able to handle this. So I think Dwayne Haskins is ready. He was ready for this when he was a youngster in elementary school, telling the coaches at Ohio State that he would be a quarterback there. He became a quarterback there, put up some monstrous numbers while he was able to hold down the quarterback position and leaving and set for the NFL. I think Dwayne Haskins should be the guy that goes there. But if you feel like Ryan Finley can go there, it'd be interesting enough to see Ryan go there being an ACC quarterback, your prototypical 6'4" quarterback like you mentioned before. I just don't feel like he'll be comfortable without a guy like Odell. He has Sterling Shepard as well. I feel Ingram could make a difference too, but these are quarterbacks that have to make a lot of things happen. I feel like Haskins could fit that pass. A lot of receivers, no matter what their name is on the back of the jersey, I feel like Finley needs star quality to be around him to be special, to be different. So if they're smart, they should go with Haskins. But I'm not mad if they go with Oliver as well.
Yeah, you're right. And it's a thinker. And I just think if it wasn't for the way Ryan Finley's impressed me, right, I might be changing my mind. I just think they're going to be able to get him late in the draft. I mean, we know Saquon Barkley's going to run the ball, right? We know. I mean, they brought in guys, and I think, you know, Hernandez is going to, he's got his rookie under him. I think Hernandez is going to be one of the better guards in the league this year, as in the second year. You know, I just think he is. I think he's gonna have a good year. And Saquon is Saquon. I think he's going to help. He's helped Eli. And I think the stuff he said in the offseason as well is perfect. How refreshing was it to see Saquon Barkley say that about his quarterback? Why don't players do that anymore? They just don't help each other out. We had all that stuff going on with Antonio Brown and, you know, Odell Beckham and stuff. And Saquon comes and shows you I was done. Larry Fitzgerald type of guy. You know, I love it. I just think that's the way to look after the quarterback. But now it's Eli. I don't think Eli could have a good year. I mean, I just think he can. It's just like answer all the questions. And anyway, let's move on. That's an interesting pick. That'll be an interesting pick as well. And it will shape up a lot of the rest of the first round, I think. And where they go, if they take that second quarterback, it's going to stop a lot of teams trading up for Dwayne Haskins. Then, you know, because quarterback is the most valuable position, as we know. If he goes, then, you know, our team's going to want Drew Lock. Our team's going to, you know, surprise us with a guy like Jones or Greer. You know, even Greer. You know, Finley, whoever. Are they going to come up and get him? I don't know. But anyway, let's move down south to Jacksonville. Jacksonville Jaguars, looking at this team, they need, I think the offensive line, to me, the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, I think Nick Foles is a great pick. I knew that was going to happen. I just knew it was going to happen as soon as they moved DeFilippo over from Minnesota. They brought him out from Minnesota. Minnesota brought him in to Jacksonville as offensive coordinator. And then it was just obvious that they were going to reunite him with Nick Foles, who won a Super Bowl together. So now they've got that, right? They've got Leonard Fournette in our backfield. And now you've got to run Leonard Fournette, like they did with JRJ when they won the Super Bowl. That's the formula for them. They've just got to turn into the Eagles of 2 years ago. And I think they got, you know, John DeFilippo was the guy to do that. Frank Reich had a bit of that. He's in Indianapolis. They need to do that a little bit more with Mark, and they need to get some running going to help Andrew Luck. But it's a good formula, you know. And Doug Peterson's doing it in Philly. Watch it. It's good formula. I like it. I prefer it than this RPO stuff that's going on in Kansas City and in Chicago now. And I just think that this is a good formula. I like to see that running back, that smash mouth, that eye formation. And there's not a better one than Leonard Fournette when he gets going. And I think to pick an offensive lineman, Ty, there's so many around, right? You got all of them, in fact. And you got Dillard, right? You got. But you've got Juwan Taylor. You've got, there's so many, right? You can have like a Garrett Bradbury inside, or Jonah Williams, you know, play inside and outside from Alabama. So there's a few. And you've got your pick. You've got Ford out of Oklahoma as well. But for me, you've got to go with the big nasty. You've got to go with the big guy who can run block. And Juwan Taylor, I think, out of Florida, 6'5", he's over 312. He'll be about 330 at the end of the year. They can just put him in there. With Khan at guard, you know, and they need that tackle desperately. They got to help Foles, but also they got to get a running game going. And I think Juwan Taylor, with his physicality, can do that. He can help Leonard Fournette. And I think that's the most important thing. That's what they got to get going in Jacksonville for him to have any shot in that division. And because that division is so good right now. I mean, you look at Tennessee with Mike Vrabel, Indianapolis. Indianapolis are on for a Super Bowl, the way they play. And I watched them last year. I couldn't believe how good they were. Andrew Luck is back. And then you've got the Houston Texans as well then. And they are just loaded. That defense with Clowney and J.J. Watt, and we know, you know, what they can do on offense. It's such a competitive division. I think Jacksonville have got to get Leonard Fournette going. And Nick Foles is a gamer. He can win the big games. We know that. We've seen it. You get him there and he'll win it for you. But they've got to have a running game. And I think Juwan Taylor's just a little bit piece of the jigsaw puzzle there, and a good start for him at this point. Any thoughts on that? obviously you got thoughts, but I think, do you think that's the right pick?
Well, here's the thing about Juwan Taylor, you know. Him being a Gator, I don't like that. I'm a Hurricane. But all in itself, he's in a division, just like you said, that have very stout defenses other than Indianapolis. Indianapolis started to show themselves this past season. I want to see if they're consistent on the defensive side of the ball to make teams worry about them defensively. Offense is what won games for the Indianapolis Colts with Andrew Luck of some sorts. But this guy has to be ready for the likes of J.J. Watt and Clowney and company. So I think his size poses a presence, but if he's strong enough to deal with these guys are sending bull rush packages at these guys and putting tackles on their backs. So hopefully he's ready. He's going to have to make this transition. I know it was, you know, an interesting season this past season for the Florida Gators, but they have, you know, bred for the, I want to say before last season, the past two or some odd seasons of losing. So I don't want him to have to hang his head down and then, you know, be against himself. But if he's ready to play in this AFC South, he has to be ready for the Titans, and not just say figuratively. I was talking about, you know, just in general the word Titans, but the Tennessee Titans, yep. The Houston Texans, you know, things of that nature. So it's going to be a tough one for him. But also with a guy like Nick Foles who needs his protection, he's going to have to be stout game in and game out for a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt. Put him up against J.J. Watt straight away, one-on-one, Oklahoma drill. I mean, that's a rude awakening any rookie wants coming into a league. We've seen that before with that Washington guard, and they picked a few years ago. I'm on Hard Knocks, and it was just that's the physicality, man. It's like, you know, they let their balls drop, as Rex Ryan would say. Let's see if they do, because that's you got to become that man. It's a physical league. It's different to college, and Juwan Taylor's gonna find that out. But I think overall he's gonna be all right. You know, he's gonna work it out quick. Quinton Nelson, man, last year, I'd never seen anything so physical in the first year. So it can be done, you know. These guys are that physical. Like Quinton Nelson dominated last year, absolutely dominated everybody. He might have been the best offensive lineman in the league last year, and that's not an understatement for a rookie. So, you know, he's totally thrown my thought process up on that. I don't know, you know, but yeah, I think he's a rare guy, Quinton Nelson, and he's a guard. But Juwan Taylor might be playing on our right side outside, you know, and we'll see how he does. And, you know, good luck there. He's got the size and the ability, but we'll see. They got to get Fournette going. I think that's the key there. And moving on, Ty, big pick for you, big pick for all of us, really, for me as well. Not going to dwell on it. I mean, Matt Patricia, Ty, he said, they've said that Matt Stafford, as you well know, his wife is struggling at the moment. Our thoughts out to you. If this is getting to you in any way, sure it is. And we pray for a swift comeback. And they said he could take his time, you know, take his time coming back. And what does he do? He ends up in the offices on Monday. He walks into the building on Monday. That's Matt Stafford. I love Matt Stafford. I know you've had your issues with him, ups and downs. It's a new season. They need to get right. Okay, let's get the pick. They need to get a pick. In honor of Gronk, right, going, I'm going to pick TJ Hawkinson out of Iowa, 6'5", 251. Ty, this kid, I don't know if you've seen him. I mean, he's amazing. In college now, there's no blocking going on anymore, right? This kick and block. He's a sophomore coming out, redshirted, okay? But a fun player to watch. Such a good, fun player. He's like Mark Bavaro after the catch. Remember Mark Bavaro, obviously. And just fights through pass coverage, man. He's just a great player. And he played with Noah Fant, who's another good tight end. But, I mean, he had... I tell you, I watched a couple of his pancake blocks he had, and he's a study of the game. But some of the pancake blocks he had, it was just refreshing to see from a college tight end. He's not going to get out of the top 10, I don't think. And I think, you know, how many times last year did you say about Eric Ebron in Indianapolis? I mean, he was catching multiple touchdowns. Where was this? Where was this in Detroit? I remember you saying every week, this is the chance to get one. I think he can be better than Ebron, and what he can do in a running game. For you right now, is incredible. It's just, he's got it all as a tight end. He's another Gronk, and I think in honor of Gronk, Matt Patricia might take him if he's around. I don't know how much you've been looking into it. Obviously, you have a little bit. I mean, the defensive side of the ball, I know, is a bit of a thing for you, and, you know, that running game. But thoughts on his pick? I think it's a good pick. I know it's a tight end at the end of the day, but really they do need one desperately, I think, after watching what I saw last year. TJ Hawkinson coming in up in the running game and the passing game, Ty, and Matt Stafford, hopefully. Thoughts on the pick?
They were talking about Hawkinson earlier, like approaching like combine and things of that nature. I think he would be a good valuable pickup at the tight end position. I also heard them talking about Josh Allen if he were to end up falling that low. And they've also talked to Devin Bush and saying that Devin Bush would potentially start at middle linebacker. So I'm like, what's going to happen to Jarrad Davis if they bring him in? So it's interesting that Detroit has at least three names that they're jumbling around. But just to entice the TJ Hawkinson talk, I didn't even see too much of his run blocking. I've seen him downfield and making catches and score touchdowns in the footage that I saw, because I didn't follow too much of Hawkeye football. I just saw like what they were doing ranking wise. He's a stud in the passing game. Now, here goes the question, or not even the question, the statement that I throw out there. You are talking about Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford consistently is one of the highest paid players in the league. And every year there is some excuse for Matthew Stafford, one way or another. And I'm not putting Kelly's situation in hell that's on the line right now against this. God, please be with that Stafford family and Kelly's family. I can't remember her maiden name, but I knew it. Because she just had the brain surgery. She came out of brain surgery. It was successful. And she's back in the hospital because they're saying she's dealing with complications. I don't want to be – this is something that's stressful on Matt Stafford's mind. But at the end of the day, Stafford has to get it done. There is no more excuses that they can fork up for this guy while he's going into his 10th season. So enough is enough. Stafford has to do something. He has to not only – and I hate to put this on him. I don't even like to talk about the team that I love. He doesn't even have to just get to the playoffs. He has to win a playoff game. Like, they put almost $250,000, if not more, in this guy's pocket. He has to turn out to win, like, now and consistently. And he also has to beat Aaron Rodgers consistently, not just beat the Packers, because the two or four times that he's beaten the Packers, Rodgers has been injured or knocked out of the game, and then he wins because Rodgers isn't going shot for shot with him, series for series. Stafford has to be able to win these games and be the professional, quote-unquote, elite. I can't even give Stafford elite quality right now. I can't do it. He just has a cannon of an arm. Until you can prove that you can do this consistently, year after year, not just for one season, then you could get that, you know, that nod. But right now, you have a point to prove. And this guy, TJ Hawkinson, can't be the piece of the puzzle, but a lot of what the offense has been focusing on, they've been focusing on running backs. They brought CJ Anderson in there as well, so we'll see. And they also brought Danny Amendola to help the passing game. So this is going to be very interesting to see what the Lions offense looks like.
Yeah, and, you know, Kenny Golladay, I think he can step up a show as well. I think Hawkinson can help him. I mean, let me tell the listeners something. There is no bigger Detroit Lion fan than TP. And we was there, Ty, watching the Kansas City Chiefs the actual day that franchise turned around. I mean, we've had the highest of the highs with Stafford. And also, you know, we've seen the lowest of the lows last season and before. And the frustration's obvious with Fiona. And it's only passion. That's all it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it is what it is. I mean, he's got to win. That's what it's all about. And he's got to get it done. I won't be surprised if they do bring a quarterback in, you know, third round, maybe fourth, just to put it, you know, give him that little bit of incentive. Got to have it. He's got to have a bit of pressure. And we'll see how it plays out. I know the money is the issue, man. He's taken up so much like cap space as well, and you know it can be used. So he needs to get it done. And like you said, I mean, it is what it is. But if we do get a chance to watch him, I watched TJ Hawkinson tie on some of the running blocks. I mean, he just ragdolls defensive ends and linebackers. I'm talking like pancakes, ragdolls. Throws him out of the club, as Mayock would say. It's impressive stuff and funny. You know, when he does get a hold of somebody. So, yeah, and I think he'd be good for the fan base as well, you know, there in Detroit and around the world, just for them to get on somebody's back. Like Sharkey was in New York, you know, when he was bowling players over, and Gronk in New England. I think Patricia will understand that, you know, what a tight end can do, a physical tight end, how a fan will watch the game and just concentrate on him and watch. And I think it'll be a good pick for the franchise. And we'll see how that goes. Moving swiftly along to Buffalo. Buffalo made some great pickups in the offseason. Love what McDermott's doing there. He's really doing something there. I think they are almost in place to challenge the Patriots. I know it's a bit of a crazy statement, you know, coming from anybody really, but I think Josh Allen's the real deal. I think he showed time and time again last year that he is. I think and defensively, some of the guys they picked up, one of the great picks that they picked up was Kevin Johnson from the Texans, right? This kid is a rookie coming in. He was great. He's been injured. First round pick. He hasn't played much ball. He's coming in a corner. I think he's going to have a big year if he's healthy. AJ Bowie somehow got to Houston as well. And he ended up in Jacksonville having a Pro Bowl season. I think Kevin Johnson can do the same thing. That's an early call. Yeah, I might be completely wrong, but I think he's got the ability and the tech. You know, he's definitely technically sound as a corner. I've seen him. He's got it. And I think he can shock some people this year. Offensive line is an obvious call, yeah. But with Glenn going last year, and there's some need there. Cody Ford is around. Could be a pick, but I'm not going. I'm going Christian Wilkins, Ty. I can't let this kid get out of the top 10. Clemson defensive tackle. Another defensive lineman going in the top 10. 6'3", 215. You know, I know Cody Ford makes sense, but I'm going with Wilkins. I've been debating this all day. Destin Lawrence, he didn't play in the national championship, right? That was the issue with him. He missed it. Substance, but whatever. I missed the national championship. Dexter come in, had a great game, an amazing game. And, you know, he's probably going to get drafted late in the first round. But Christian Wilkins is that guy. That's how good Clemson could have been last year. They were so dominant. And it was like Christian Wilkins all season long was so good. And I know he missed the national championship game, but despite that, I still think he's going to go in the top 10. He's just too good. Ed Oliver, Quinnen Williams, and Christian Wilkins are three of just amazing, amazing defensive tackles. And they're going to get pressure up the middle, three of them. So disruptive. He's been, you know, throughout his career at Clemson. Against the pass, you know, quick feet and hands. His goalie attributes, really. You know, he relies on his quickness to slip box, but he's got great technique. And he avoids cut blocks and stuff. And, you know, he's got so much upside as a pass rusher, penetrates. And, you know, he's a lot like Ed Oliver, to be honest, too. There's not much difference, but he's just a bit bigger. He's 6'3", 215. But just another great inside present for the Buffalo Bills, and I think that's where they go. Best player on the board at the time. That's the reason I took him. Thoughts on Buffalo, Ty? Are they, you know, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Tom Brady. Who's the best quarterback in our division right now? Or is it Ryan Fitzpatrick? I know there's a great video hanging around, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick took Josh Allen and Sam Darnold golfing down in Miami. And he says in the video, he goes, look, I got the two rookies from last year, Josh Allen, me, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Sam Darnold. And the video stops because Tom Brady's not there. Just that's what I love about Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think he's going to be so good for Miami. He's such a good character and good for the league as well. But anyway, thoughts on the Bills, Josh Allen, and, you know, the pick in Christian Wilkins, or would it go offensive line?
Well, I hope you're right. I hope somebody in that division can stop the Patriots. If Brady keeps this up and keeps knocking them off, you're going to consistently hear the same stuff, the AFC East can't compete with the Patriots. So hopefully one of these teams step up and do it. The Bills can potentially do it if this is their pick. Wilkins is definitely disruptive on the defensive side of the ball, especially run defense. He's so multifaceted that they use him on the other side of the ball, almost like refrigerator Perry and things of that nature, to be a run, you know, blocker, things of that nature because of his size and what he brings to the table. And him being a part of a winning culture, being down there at Clemson too, winning a championship, going up against Alabama, bringing that pedigree to the Buffalo Bills. They need some type of turnaround. They need somebody that can bark and get this team to uproar a little bit. And I think that this could be that guy to help try and turn around the Buffalo Bills. I don't think he's going to be that instant impact to just make the Bills make the postseason. But this could be a start to something big with a lot of the youth that they have there.
Hello, Ty. I think we lost Ty.
Yeah. Roger, are you there? I'm still here.
You're back, bro. I can hear you. Yes.
Okay. No, again, just like I was saying, I think that this could be a big piece of the puzzle that Buffalo needs to rebuild toward the future. I don't know if he's an impact player right now, But I think that this could definitely be a step to something big.
Definitely, I agree 100%. I think, like you said, coming in with that culture, that pedigree is so big. I think that's under, I mean, people just don't see that either. You know, you come in from a winning culture, bring it in. It is, and that's what Buffalo definitely need after what they've been through. I agree with you 100%. It's such a big statement. I mean, McDermott knows it. His personality is just that as well. He's Dabo Sweeney as well. You know, Dabo Sweeney, Clemson, exactly the same type of personality. They're hyper, winning. There's no option. You've got to win. That's it. You know, Trevor Lawrence, they've probably got the best quarterback that's going to come out since Peyton Manning. He's there this year. Him and Tua next year is going to be an incredible battle. Nick Saban, man, and all that he's done, I think Clemson is starting to turn the wheels in college sports. And it's great to see. I mean, Oklahoma and Georgia as well are there, just Ohio State coming through. But how competitive is that now? And for Clemson to come out and Christian Wilkins, bit massive part of that season last year, and coming in with that mentality, like I said, and setting a tone early is huge. It's absolutely massive. And Buffalo needs it as well. I mean, God rest his soul. Kev Cadle, my mentor, he's such a massive influence on my life. He loved Buffalo, you know, but he's seen him for so many losing seasons. I just want to see him start winning, you know, for him. You know, he'd love to see it, if he, you know, and he can watch it now and just enjoy it. And it's good to see. And I think Josh Allen's the guy, and I think defensively they're starting to pull it around a bit. And we'll see how it goes this year, but I'm sure it's going to work out for him. Hey, Tom Brady ain't going to play forever. I mean, as good as he is, he's not going to play forever. And they're going to make a move soon. And I honestly think a Belichick's going to go out at the same time. I just got a feeling that that's going to happen. They're going to go out together. And we're going to see New England struggle for a bit. So the Jets, Dolphins, and Bills are going to...
If that's the case, and Brady keeps going by the timeline that he's talking about, where Brady has 3 more years to play. He's going to play until he's 45. And he just won a damn Super Bowl, so that they buckle up. So he's at least got 3 years left, at least.
If that happens, right, that'd be the greatest accomplishment in sporting history, right, worldwide, ever. And not just that. I can't see that happening again. How can that possibly happen again? As a quarterback in the NFL as well, probably the hardest position to play in all sports. I know a lot. Every sport says that, but it actually is. You know, when you think about it, you know, the mental side of it as well as the physical side of it. John Madden said about Tom Brady, the best for me, right, years ago. He said that Tom Brady was the most mobile player in the NFL. Mobile quarterback in the NFL. I was like, what? Like Michael Vick was playing at the same time. And I was like, what was he talking about? And then he explained, right, just his foot mobility in the pocket takes. It's all within like a 2 yards either side and back and forth. It's like he doesn't go out of that pocket. He's so well protected. And, you know, you had Matt Light for years, who suffers with Crohn's disease, same as where I got. Matt Light, 13 years with Crohn's disease in the NFL and one of the best offensive tackles. David Andrews in front of him now as a center, unheard of, does so much, you know, and these guys... So well protected, Dan Neal, a guard for years. These guys, they hardly mentioned, but amazing what they've done for him. And you know, they keep him upright, and that's a big part of it. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, somebody's got to put some pressure on him, and they've got to get it done. And Christian Wilkins is a good start, but we'll see how that goes. And let's move on. Ty, last pick. Just moving past the hour mark. Sorry about that. I thought we'd just get under, but... Go a couple of minutes over. Denver Broncos tie at 10. A lot of people calling for quarterback, Drew Lock. I'm thinking, I don't know, I got Devin Bush. I don't think Devin Bush is Michigan, Wolverine. His father played for the Rams, won that Super Bowl against Tennessee, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Many, you know, I don't know if we've got Amazon Prime in the States. You obviously got this. All or Nothing. They do it on the Wolverines last year, Jim Harbaugh. Check that out, because you got Winbush, you got Devin Bush, and you also got the guy who's just missing out, Rashan Gary, just missing out on the top 10. He's had a shoulder injury. That's the only reason I don't think he's going to go in the top 10 tomorrow. He's going to go a couple of picks after. But just watching those three and the way Jim Harbaugh got these guys going. Watch how passionate Devin Bush is. Just check the relationship he has out with his father. If you do check, I'll send over to you, right, so you can watch it. And he's 5'11", Ty, inside linebacker, 5'11", 234. He's London Fletcher, basically. But like Devin White, a new era inside linebacker. It's going to be mentioned tomorrow a lot. They're going to talk about it. he's like a safety playing linebacker, basically, but with every linebacking instinct and physicality and tools. It's amazing, you know. What he makes up for, what he lacks in height, right, he makes up for with instincts. Just a twitch. Just he got that twitch, you know, and he, excellent zone. Excellent in zone dropping, you know, against the pass. You watch him on nickel and dime, and it's like you can just leave him in there on four downs. Same as Devin White. That's why they're so valuable. It's like a lot of teams doing it with safeties now, but you've got linebackers doing it in college, and it's great. I mean, the more of them are coming through as well. It's a new position. The linebacking position is, you know, years ago when James Laurinaitis and Ray Mauluga got drafted, I remember him getting drafted in round two. And I spoke with Gil Brandt, who was a legendary Dallas Cowboys GM, and, you know, he does a lot with the NFL, NFL.com, and he said, James Laurinaitis' father, Animal from the Road Warriors, right? Remember Animal? Legion of Doom. He phones him up and says, why is my kid not going in the first round? And he said, the inside linebacking position is just not as valuable as it once was because of the way the game was. Now we've got this passing game back. It's there again. There's two inside linebackers going in the top 10 of the draft tomorrow, according to us, according to me. And, you know, I think, and you mentioned Devin Bush already today. So, I mean, you're obviously thinking the same thing. So it's like, if it happens tomorrow, then the value has gone back up. The game is changing, you know. The college game is creeping in. You know, they're taking a lot out of it. Like, people want to see this aerial game, and you know, when you've got guys like Mahomes, it's so attractive to watch. It's sexy, you know, and it's getting fans in the UK and in Europe and worldwide, and it's the way the game is going. So for that, offensively, you need the Devin Bushes of the world. You need them early and often, and you're going to get him tomorrow, and you're going to get him, watch him in his rookie year playing four downs, and that. It's going to be great. It's like we've seen already in the league, but with safeties, and these guys can do it. Just watch him in coverage, and I'll send that Michigan stuff over to you. You know, talk about passion. You've seen what he's done against Michigan State, when he's kicking up their logo at a halfway line, almost getting himself kicked out of the game. That's how crazy this kid is. You know, he can run with tight ends and running backs, and he's a real good player. He definitely excels in the run game and just as good in the passing game. Excited for him. I mean, his father was a good player. He won a Super Bowl. But this is a pro bowler. This kid is a pro bowler, especially the way the game is being played now, like I said, you know. I'm thinking Landon Collins is going to play a lot more this position they're playing in as well, Ty, in Washington. I think this is what it's coming to now, you know. You've got Minka Fitzpatrick in Miami. He's playing corner, but he's also playing safety. We're going to see the transition of these big corners coming in playing safety as well, I think, a lot more this year. And, you know, the bigger sort of hard-hitting safeties coming down and playing this, you know, this nickel linebacker, dime linebacker role. It's getting faster. The game's getting faster and more aerial. I think we're just seeing the transition. You know, we're seeing it, you know, the evolution of football. And it's a safer game now. But it's just faster and more attractive. It's great to see. I just your thoughts on the Broncos. I mean, they got Joe Flacco. That's their quarterback for next year. John Elway's brought in Joe Flacco. I love that. I love it. I mean, Joe Flacco could throw the ball 80 yards without thinking about it. John Elway might bring Joe Flacco back to life. I can see that happening. I could definitely see that happening. I thought that was a genius pickup. It's given Joe Flacco an extra lease of life. You know, Case Keenum's in Washington. It's there. It's there for him. I mean, we'll see how it goes, but just interesting. I can't wait for the season to start, to be honest. But that's our 10 picks. That's my 10 picks. Your thoughts on the Broncos, thoughts on the Devin Bush pick?
Oh, well, if they get Devin Bush and he falls in their lap, it's that no-fly zone all over again. Denver is still trying to make that defense as stout as possible, and they'll need that to be in that AFC West with the juggernaut that they have to deal with. So I think that could definitely be a quality pickup with Bush coming there and making a difference in the midst of that defense while they still have Von Miller and company making some incredible things happen. They just have to get their winning ways back and believe that Joe Flacco has at least another 3 years left in him to be successful in a young man's game in the AFC West right now. I mean, the only older one would really be Phillip Rivers, but other than that, there's a lot of youth out there for things to happen for the Denver Broncos. So this is a very big pickup if they can get Bush to come there and help out with the names that were mentioned before.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's so many names we can mention that could go in the top 10, but especially with two inside linebackers, are pretty much putting it out on a limb there. I mean, I'm sure that, like, you know, you look at inside presence like Garrett Bradbury. After what Quentin Nelson done last year, Bradbury's got every shot. He's from NC State as well. He protected Finley last year. Cleland Farrell again out of Clemson. He can play all across the line again. I know Vrabel's looking at three of those Clemson boys. You know, a good safety, Jonathan Abraham, might not go early, but he's going to go at some point. Mentioned Dexter Lawrence, stood out in the national championship game. Cody Ford, good player on his feet. Brian Burns, another edge rusher. Byron Murphy. Irv Smith is a good tight end. Look for New England to maybe pick a Fant or Irv Smith. I'm not sure. I like Jondre Baker, Rocket Sin, Greedy Williams. Some good corners that could go tie. We know those guys. Another Nazir Adderley is a good safety. And then you've got Jerry Tillery, and then bringing up the defensive tackles. Keneal Harry is a good receiver, I think, is going to go earlier than a lot of people predicting. And then we got Hollywood Brown and AJ Brown, and you know, some good receivers with DK Metcalf, an outstanding combine. I don't see him getting past 20 picks. You know, there's so much talent in this first round. A lot of those can move up, and it could shock people by going up early. But I'm pretty happy with that top 10. We'll see how it plays out. But it's just a bit of a shot in the dark. Anyway, I'll just go back over it quick before I close this out. Kyler Murray 1, Joey Bosa 2. Sorry, Joey Bosa, doing already. Nick Bosa 2, Quinnen Williams 3 to the Jets. Oakland, Josh Allen, the edge rusher. Tampa Bay, Devin White, inside linebacker, changing the game. New York Giants pick Ed Oliver. Jacksonville Jaguars, Joan Taylor. Detroit Lions, TJ Hawkinson. Buffalo Bills, 9, Christian Wilkins. And then rounding out, Devin Bush to the Denver Broncos, 10. Ty, pleasure talking to you again. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, check us out. Start of the season right now. I'm sure we'll be doing more after the draft. I hope you've enjoyed listening in to my boy, you know, head for the knowledge. I mean, the amount of time this guy puts into sports is just absolutely inspiring to me every year. And we talk all through the year. And, you know, I couldn't wish to have a better guy in my corner with me doing what we're doing. And we're looking to make some big moves this year, as we do every year. But something about this year I just got a good feeling about. And I'm really looking forward to it. Ty, been a pleasure. I'm sure we'll catch up now soon after, or before the draft. Before the end of the draft, or maybe after the draft, let it all play out. Any more players you want to mention first? Before we leave, a couple of sleepers. Andy Isabella, like Julian Edmund, but much faster, exciting player. Bryce Love, I know he's injured, but remember him as a running back at Stanford. Henderson as well, another guy who was in for the running as a Heisman. So I just go for a couple. I got Will Greer, I think is going to be a shock. I obviously mentioned Finley. And then Moreland's good corner, 18 interceptions Moreland had in college. Took 6 back for a touchdown. So keep an eye out for those guys, just a couple of sleepers. Any you've got your eye on, and just a close out before we get some sleep and get to the draft tomorrow. I can't believe it's already come around.
The draft is coming tomorrow. I mean, I'm still stunned too, man, to say the least bit, man, and at least get some frenzy going so we can get through at least the first 3 months. Well, not even. Let's look at April being the end of this month. So we got May, June, and July before we start to hear some more about the football field, if you want. So for all of the avid fans, football is right around the corner, you know, for the, you know, the moderate. At least you can look forward to September being this close too. But all in all, these are some successful, can help these low bottom feeding teams out of the cellar and get them into relevant talk or playoff appearances or playoff wins. That's what matters most.
That's very true. I know, I haven't spent time in Nashville. I wish I was there tomorrow, man, in Tootsie's or, you know, Honky Tonk Bar. We'll have to get out there. I'll have to show you. Like, I know you've done so much out there in Cali and Vegas and stuff, but I think Nashville's an up-and-coming town. I mean, I New Year's Eve there, and I haven't seen anything like it before in my life. It's like, they say it's like the next biggest show out in New York, so we'll have to check that out at some point. Anyway, it's been a pleasure, bro. I'm going to close this out. Thanks for listening. SportsCityChefs.com. check out the website. I'm going to try and get a little mock draft on there before the draft tomorrow. If you want to check that out, the website link is on Apple, iTunes. Check it out on your Macs and your iPhones. And enjoy the draft. God bless. And we'll speak to you soon. Let you know.
Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Now they know.